The Poetry of Night, Volume 2, An Introduction. Night. The day has gone, departed, and the dark embrace, the inky shadows of night descend. For many, a time to unwind and slumber, for some a nagging doubt that all is not well, that some primeval and primordial happening may yet go bump in the night. But for our poets, the night is a time of wonder and imagination, as well as many other emotions and feelings. Among our ranks of gloried talents are Thomas Hood, Gerard Manley Hopkins, Robert Louis Stevenson, John Clare, Herman Melville, and many more besides. Their descriptions capture what they see and feel, as perhaps only a poet can.
Night on the Prairies by Walt Whitman. Night on the prairies. The supper is over. The fire on the ground burns low. The wearied emigrants sleep wrapped in their blankets. I walk by myself. I stand and look at the stars, which I think now I never realized before. Now I absorb immortality and peace. I admire death and test propositions. How plenteous, how spiritual, how resume. The same old man and soul, the same old aspirations, and the same content. I was thinking the day most splendid, till I saw what the not day exhibited. I was thinking this globe enough, till there sprang out so noiseless around me myriads of other globes. Now, while the great thoughts of space and eternity fill me, I will measure myself by them. And now, touched with the lives of other globes, arrived as far along as those of the earth, or waiting to arrive, or passed on farther than those of the earth, I henceforth no more ignore them than I ignore my own life, or the lives of the earth arrived as far as mine, or waiting to arrive. Oh, I see now that life cannot exhibit all to me, as the day cannot. I see that I am to wait for what will be exhibited by death.
The Cotter's Saturday Night. Robert Burns. My loved, my honoured, much respected friend, no mercenary bard his homage pays. With honest pride I scorn each selfish end, my dearest meed, a friend's esteem and praise. To you I sing, in simple Scottish lays, the lowly train in life's sequestered scene, the native feelings strong, the guileless ways. What Aitken in a cottage would have been, and though his worth unknown, far happier there I ween. November chill blows loud by angry sow, the shortening winter day is near a close, the miry beast retreating fae the plough, the blackening trains are craws to their repose. The toil-worn cotter frae his labour goes, this night his weekly moil is at an end. He collects his spades, his mattocks and his hose, hoping the morn in ease and rest to spend, and weary o'er the moor his course does hameward bend. At length his lonely cot appears in view, beneath the shelter of an aged tree. The expectant wee things toddling stasher through to meet their dad with flitcherin' noise and glee, his wee bit ingle blinking bonnily. His clean hearth stain, his thrifty wifey smile, the lisping infant prattling on his knee, does all his weary claw and care beguile, and make him quite forget his labour and his toil. Belive, the elder bairns come drapping in, and service out among the farmer's ruin. Some ca' the plough, some herd, some tentyrin, a canny errand to a neighbour's toon. Their eldest hope, their Jenny, woman grown, in youthful bloom love sparkling in her ee, comes hame perhaps to show a brand new goon, or deposit her sair one penny fee, to help her parents dear if they in hardship be. With joy unfeigned brothers and sisters meet, and each for other's welfare kindly spears. The social hours swift winged unnoticed fleet, each tells the uncles that he sees or hears. The parents' partial, either hopeful years. Anticipation forward points the view. The mother, wi' her needle and her shears, gars all clays look amazed as weel the new. The father mixes awe